This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Thank you for being along for the ride. Bear and Jake with me as always. We've got a three-hour tour headed your way right here on Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming live on the Fan Run app and at fanrunradio.com. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic, Russell. How about yourself?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
Feeling better now?
How so?
I mean, you were percolating yesterday. Let's put it that way.
Percolating?
Yeah, over the Titans.
I didn't know what you were referring to because I couldn't remember if I told you I was actually like feeling not so great last night and for a minute was worried that I was getting the thing.
Right.
And then I woke up today and I was all right again. So I couldn't. Okay. I don't know if I told you that. So I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm better on both accounts. I feel like I've processed the loss. Moving forward.
You're the wiping clear. Forward.
And just embracing basketball season, man. How about you?
Yeah, same here. I was, you know, me and Jake were just kind of concerned about you yesterday.
Nah, I'm all right. I got bigger problems than the Titans. If the Titans are my biggest issue right now, my problems are small. Put it that way. Jake Miller, good afternoon. How are you, sir? Mic's doing the thing.
It's doing you got flip switches. There you go, buddy.
Doing well.
Good. Good to see you.
Cooking with grease.
Big news today in the world of sports. Sean Payton stepping away after 16 years with the New Orleans Saints. The last 15 as head coach, Super Bowl winner back in 2009. Of course, suspended in 2012 as a result of Bounty Gate. And we talked about this yesterday. 58 years old, says he doesn't know, no immediate plan as far as what he's going to do next. Might do a little TV or something next year, but rest assured he'll be looming large over the National Football League as teams will be lined up to try and woo him over the course of the next 12 months or so.
Yeah, that's very interesting because you go back to Hurricane.
He doesn't have a quarterback.
He does not. But you go back to Hurricane Katrina. The Saints were a big part of revitalizing that city after all that happened.
And he was a big part of it.
Absolutely, because there was some talks at one point. I don't know if they ever went anywhere. But the Saints could have left New Orleans.
I remember that.
And they pretty much got him in, and they were like, no, we're staying put. And then, of course, the infamous block punt recovered in the end zone. It's like, well, that guy's here to stay for a minute, and he stayed there for 16 years.
Set from 67 to 2005, the Saints had 5-10-win seasons with a winning percentage of 40%. They had a grand total of one playoff win in the first 47 years of franchise existence. Since 2006, when Sean Payton arrived, he turned the franchise around, leading it to Super Bowl glory, 9 playoff wins, 9 10-win seasons. He won 62% of his games, which in the NFL is pretty darn solid.
Yeah, you're top tier. He's one of the best coaches in the NFL. I've got a nightmare scenario for
going to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that his roots?
Yeah, I think he was there for a while. I wonder if he's got his eye on the Seahawks job for whenever Pete Carroll decides. Because, I mean, there's some, Pete Carroll fired Ken Norton Jr. this year, and he's been his DC forever. And you just go back to the old Spurrier thing about, 10 years is a good run anywhere in coaching. Sean Payton been there 15 years. It's time for him to move on. It feels like the Pete Carroll era has expired, and especially if they move on from Russell Wilson there in Seattle. There's a bunch of places he could go, but I think it's safe to say that the NFL, the football world, has not seen or heard the last of one Sean Payton.
No, now, we talked about it last week. You said, I can't remember, I think it may have been Byron Leftwich, wouldn't scare you at the Jags. But Sean Payton down there in Jacksonville.
Oh, that's my nightmare. Why would you even say something like that to me, Bear?
Well, because we just talked about him going to the Cowboys, which is not my nightmare.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that.
I mean, he'll be on the first call of just about anybody looking for a coach, though.
Opening segment of the show today brought to you by MyBookie. Even though the fantasy football season's over, you can keep the excitement alive with MyBookie's double deposit bonus. Having your initial deposit match by up to $1,000 is like playing every game with home field advantage. All you got to do is sign up using promo code Knoxville. Excuse me. Get your funds credited to your account instantly so you can start placing your bets with MyBookie. With the NFL postseason full swing, there's no shortage of games to choose from at MyBookie, and everyone knows that the playoffs equal points. It's the best time of the year to hammer overs with every player out to make a name for themselves. Players' props are a great way to find an edge. MyBookie is also home to exclusive contests that can be used to maximize your winnings and make 2022 your best year yet. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit up to $1,000 by using promo code Knoxville. Place your bets and get ready for the intensity of playoff action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Coming up on the show today, we are going to be joined by James Clausen. He is the director of Spire Sports Group, which is the big NIL firm here in Knoxville. And there's so many questions just about how all this works, and I will not even pretend to understand it. I feel like I've gone down those rabbit holes, and we all tend to overgeneralize. When people say NIL, we just think in terms of this big pot of money that Josh Heupel has where boosters are just funneling money into it. And it's really not what it is at all.
That's not what it's supposed to be. I think there's some schools where that's, namely Texas A&M, where that's closer to the truth. But it's supposed to be getting the kids into what events that they can benefit, like signing autographs. That's kind of where it started, wasn't it?
Well,
we were getting in trouble for doing autograph sessions.
Well, we can ask James. I mean, that's stuff's been. I assume you're talking about the Johnny Manziel stuff. I mean, we'll talk to James Clausen about this. He's an integral figure in Tennessee's efforts to market their current players and attract recruits, and I guess my big thing is, what is the – we all understand, okay, you've got Hendon Hooker, Cedric Tillman, John Fulkerson, big names on campus. I think it's pretty easy to understand those – Spire can go out to Powell's or Crown Cleaners or whoever and say, hey, what if we had so-and-so doing a commercial for you guys and you pay him a talent fee, and then you purchase the advertising and everybody's happy. I think we all understand that. My question comes into what can these guys do for Isaiah Nayor? Or for, I don't know, who's the big recruit for Vic Burley, the defensive lineman from down there in Georgia, or this kid, the wide receiver from Florida who came up in Carnell Tate. You know what?
Who is our kid that picked up? We've got somebody picked up a fifth star.
Oh, well, I mean, that's James Pierce. He's already signed.
James Pierce.
But my question is, what can Spire, for instance, do for these kids that Tennessee's recruiting right now? Can they go up to Carnell Tate or Vic Burley and say, hey, if you come to Tennessee, this is the company that we can hook you up with an endorsement. We've already spoken to the owner. They've okayed it. This is the amount of money that you're going to be making. This is the amount of money that you can expand to as your star rises over the course of your college career, and this is what you can expect to make. I don't see why they can't do that, but then you get into the question of, like, obviously they've got to know who Tennessee's recruiting, but they can't have any contact with Josh Heupel. I mean, are they really just going on to Rivals and 247 and On Three?
No.
And figuring out who Tennessee's recruiting and then going out and approaching that? I don't know.
I would think not. I mean, surely to God they can, you know, get a burner phone. I mean, don't have to spell it out for everybody. You maybe not supposed to, but I'm sure they've got ways of getting the word to people.
Don't be like John Curry.
Well, that's the thing. He had multiple phones.
Yeah, but he was doing all of his texting through that monologue.
What we saw. We only saw his communications with Dan Wolkin. We didn't see his super high level secret communication. We see his communications with Peyton.
I saw the text he sent to me.
Well, yeah, that's you. You're not. Jake.
I don't know if I have to point this out to you, but you are neither Peyton Manning nor a high-level booster.
Yeah, you're not
or have
Haskell.
Any power.
No offense, Jake. We love you. I mean, you're an integral part of our team. By the way,
yeah.
I put out a message on social media earlier today. We're looking for some interns to just help out with stuff behind the scenes here. And I thought innocuous enough. Like, I'll just set this out here, and I'll go and sort through these emails, you know, later tonight or maybe even later in the week. I don't know. But immediately, I'm deluged with people responding to the tweet with, are you guys, where's Jake going? Are you firing
Jake's
Jake?
Jake's not going anywhere.
Jake Miller done? Is he leaving? Is he moving on to bigger? Has RTI hired Jake Miller away already?
No.
They're going to hurt me like a dog.
Oh, I was like, why does everybody assume that, like, all the other shows here have, like, four or five guys working in their rotation? Like, we can't just add
like
a fourth person
car
to the team. It has to be, we have to kick somebody off the island. It's just me and Bear and whoever the third person happens to be.
I mean, I don't, you know, we need the help sometimes.
And not only was my Twitter blowing up, I was getting text messages. Like, I'm sitting here at work.
Are you okay? Did they fire you?
Oh, my phone was blowing up.
Did you get sick of Bear and Russell picking on you?
Takes a lot to make me mad.
Nah, really doesn't. We'll go on.
SEC tonight, Kentucky plays host to Mississippi State up at Rupp. Bruce Pearl and Auburn are in the con zone. Number one ranked Auburn in a battle of the Tigers. Bruce going up to Como.
Let's go Conzos.
Isn't that ironic how everybody, you know, when Konzo was here, everybody wanted to bring back Bruce, and now that Bruce is number one and we're chasing him, we're pulling for Konzo to beat Bruce. Except for the I know the really twisted, demented one, like Jamie and Phil are probably rooting for Bruce just because they love
know.
Him. But for those of us that are actual Tennessee fans and want Tennessee to win, like, we want the bad team to beat the good team that we're chasing. It doesn't really have anything to do with the personalities.
Yeah, I'm full-throatedly supporting the con zone tonight.
Hands!
It'll be
hands.
It'd be the most Konzo thing ever for him to knock off
awesome.
Number one Auburn.
Has he beaten Bruce yet?
I don't know.
That's got to be really, you know, he hates Bruce. Like, he's too nice a guy to ever say anything like that, but you know, like, he just...
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Purdue was involved. Wasn't Purdue, or is it Mark? I can't remember what team it was that was involved long before Bruce got here.
That was Iowa, Illinois. I think if...
He's not real popular in the Big Ten.
By the way, how about Calipari and Pearl's world? Pearl is in Cal's head. Did you see what Cal said about Auburn yesterday?
No, huh?
Something about, I don't know, I have to go and maybe Jake can find the quote here. It's something about, well, they took their shirts off when they beat us. Something about taking their pants off. Like, it was a weird, like, quasi-sexual innuendo kind of thing. It was just strange.
Yep. That's really strange. That game, I think, might have turned out different if Ty Washington doesn't get hurt in the first half. We'll never know.
We'll never know. Well, I mean, we might see them again. See that game on a neutral court with both teams full strength could be interesting. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show with us this afternoon, 546-8200. Tomorrow at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena, Rick Barnes and his volunteers welcome little Mikey White in his size medium dress shirt and his clip-on tie and a Supercuts haircut to Knoxville. The Gators fresh off they got the beat down last night. I mean,
oh yeah, they're beat up.
Kermit and Ole Miss bent them over a barrel and showed them the 50 states down in the pavilion. Almost a 30-point beat down there.
Yeah, they've got a lot of issues down there. And they shot like 30-plus three balls or something. They may be more offensively inept than we are.
Quick timeout. It is The Drive. Blake Topmeyer is going to join the festivities when we continue. It's Fan Run Radio Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith cruise along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. We're pleased to be joined by Blake Topmeyer of USA Today on the G3 Help Me Hotline. What's up, Blake?
How's it going?
Hey, it's going very well. Hope things are well in your world.
Yeah, not too bad. Can't complain. Got us a nice day here in Knoxville. I'll take this weather anytime here at this point in January, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. The off season is here, but you know, college football, they've kind of done a good job of, you know, like the NFL. There is no off season. You know, there's always a story where you're going from the playoffs and the Super Bowl into free agency, into the draft, into OTAs, into spring camp, and then you're right back into the season. It's a constant cycle. And now with the early signing day and the late signing day and spring practice and the transfer portal and all this, I mean, college football's just kind of followed suit, and it's pretty interesting. I know that you probably got a chance to take a quick breath after the national championship and the bowl games, but there's always something to write about, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is, and as a columnist, I love it because, like you said, there's no shortage of happenings in the sport, and it really is year-round now. I've been calling it the hot stove season, you know, using that Major League Baseball term. That's really what we've been in for the last, month here. You know, as you said, we added the December signing period. I believe it was in 2017 was the first year of the December signing period. So it's like, okay, then that becomes the main signing period. But then you still had, you know, some signings in February, some of those guys holding out, you know, weighing their final offers. But now in between, we have, as I said, I've been calling it the hot stove season, call it the free agent market, whatever you want to label it. Really, that period between like mid-December and in winter enrollment, where you have all this transfer movement, and obviously we're going to have another round of it too. You know, it's going to slow down here with the winter semesters starting across the country, but then after spring practice, you know, guys exit the spring and maybe they see where they're at on the depth chart. They don't like where they stand. And we're going to have another, I think we're going to have another wave of transfers, say, in May. Now, one thing to keep in mind, though, is for the SEC to SEC transfers, the Jermaine Burtons of the world going from Georgia to Alabama, you have to, starting this year as a football player, you have to transfer by February 1 to be eligible if you're going from SEC to SEC. Now, if you're going from SEC to another conference or from another conference in, you have until, I believe it's May 1st. To do that, but the conference to conference moves, you know, the SEC to SEC, we're going to see that start winding down here in the next week.
Now, was it you have to have completed the transfer by February 1st, or is it just you have to have your name in the portal and you can transfer afterwards as long as you're in the portal?
That's a good point of clarification. Yeah, I believe you're right. You have to be in the portal by February 1st. Yeah, I don't believe you have to complete the transfer process. You have to be in the portal by February 1st. Yes, thank you.
Which is interesting, Blake, because it just adds another layer of potential weirdness to this, because if you're a guy on an SEC team and you're thinking about transferring or you're thinking about transferring, like, you might as well go ahead and put your name in the portal just in case, which could lead to scenarios where a guy's on campus, still enrolled in school, still technically a part of your football team, but he is in the portal. He's working out and practicing with your team. You're recruiting him to stay with your team, but he could leave. And he's being recruited by the other vultures in the SEC.
Yeah, to your point, Emory Jones falls into that category, the Florida quarterback. You know, the last I knew, he's still on the transfer portal, but going to classes and, you know, sort of still participating with the Florida program. So he's got, you know, one foot in and one foot out. And Florida's standpoint is they're cool with that. You know, they're fine with him being in that situation. He already sort of did Florida a solid by playing in the bowl game. You know, didn't play particularly well, but he played. And so I think you're right. You will see maybe a couple guys fall into that category. The danger there is if you want to, you know, do that one foot in, one out move, is if the program you're with just says, you know what, go ahead and put both feet out. We're not going to be held hostage here. We're not going to wait around to see what you decide. See you later. So that is one risky run. Now, if you're a star player, you know, I think the door is always going to be open for you to return. Or if you're at a position of need, the door would be open for you to return. But yeah, you do have to be a little bit careful, I think. You know, if you just want to put your name in the portal and keep going to classes and maybe keep participating in workouts, you know, at some point for certain guys, I think programs would say, no, you got to make a decision here. You're either in or you're out.
Blake Topmeyer, USA Today, joining us this afternoon on the show. Blake, I see your latest piece at USA Today is about Arch Manning and comparing his recruitment to 28. Has it really been 28 years? Man, that makes me feel old, because this Peyton's recruitment was one of the first I remember following closely. You have a retrospective at USA Today up this afternoon. What did you learn about Peyton Manning's recruitment?
Yeah, it was a really interesting piece there to kind of go back in time and look and see how Peyton handled it. You know, one thing I led with in that column, Peyton, no surprise, was pretty meticulous about all of this and kept kind of detailed notes and handwritten notes in his notebook about his recruiting. And in his Saloon 16 that he opened there in Knoxville about a year and a half ago, among the memorabilia is a sheet out of a notebook in which he logs 23 phone calls that he fielded on August 15th in 1993. And so he's got, you know, the first phone call that day was from Bobby Petrino, who was Arizona State's quarterbacks coach at the time. Bobby Petrino called him just after 11 a.m. 23 phone calls later, he was hanging up with Mark Richt just after 10 o'clock that night. So on one Sunday in August, Peyton was on the phone with 23 different coaches and phone calls that ranged from 5 to 15 minutes. And so, you know, that was one of the interesting things I came across there. And really just the speculation about where Peyton would go you know, I mean, so much of the speculation obviously was that he was maybe going to go to Ole Miss and follow in Archie's footsteps there. But, you know, if you start to look back and read the tea leaves, like there was a quote from Peyton's mom in a Sports Illustrated profile in November of his senior year, in which she makes the comment that, hey, Peyton kind of likes Tennessee. And I think that was the first time really that, you know, Tennessee was already on the radar and people thought, oh, maybe there's a chance he goes to Tennessee. But I think when that Sports Illustrated profile came out there in November of his senior year and his mom's mentioning Tennessee specifically, it's like, oh, maybe Tennessee's the front runner for this guy. And then, of course, you know, Michigan was firmly in the mix. Actually, Archie, in a story in the Memphis Commercial Appeal in January of Peyton's senior year, so just a couple weeks before he committed, Archie declared Michigan the front runner. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting to go back and look through all that stuff. And it certainly seems like, and I know Peyton's talked about this, how much he tried to enjoy the process. You know, his senior year as teams were putting on the full court press for him.
But it seems like Arch is every bit as highly touted this year as Peyton was back in 93-94. Is Arch destined, in your opinion, to play in the SEC just like his uncles?
Well, I think you have the SEC schools as front runners there with Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, and in no particular order. I do think that Texas is a bit of a wild card. I don't think Texas is out of it by any means. Mm. And of course, you know, Steve Sarkisian was formerly on Alabama's staff. So, you know, perhaps that relationship even started forming, to some extent, you know, before Sarkisian got to Texas. But yeah, I mean, I would think, you know, if you're taking SEC versus the field, I think at this point I'd probably lean SEC. But there are a couple wild cards out there, I think, for Arch, and I think Texas is one in particular.
Well, and with them coming into the SEC, I mean, that might be an easy off-ramp for Arch to avoid the pain of having to pick a traditional rival of either Ole Miss or Tennessee. Just go with the other Orange UT, and presumably they'd be in the SEC by his junior year, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, when I'm thinking, oh, maybe he's not going to go to an SEC school, well, we're only going to be able to say that for a few more years, right? But, you know, I know Clemson was in the mix for him at one point and still is to a certain extent. But I think if and there are people who are closer to Arch Manning's recruitment, certainly, than I am. But I think, you know, at this point, if you're doing like a 1-5 guessing order, pecking order, you know, Clemson might be just outside the top four there at this juncture.
Talking with Blake Topmeyer, USA Today, this afternoon on the show. And Blake, yeah, also wrote a piece this week about Billy Napier and his start down in Gainesville. How are things going for the new head coach of the Gators?
Well, he's hiring anyone and everyone, right? Like, I don't know that the bigger staff you have, the better staff you have, but there might be something to be said for it, right? Like, Saban was the first one that sort of revolutionized this idea of hiring all these fired head coaches to be analysts. Well, Billy Napier is taking a different approach. He's not necessarily loading up on fired coaches, but he's creating these positions that it's like he's just grabbing names for these jobs out of the sky. Like, they hired a game changer coordinator the other day, whatever that is. But one thing I will say, you know, some of this stuff is just, it seems like gluttony to me. But one thing that I thought that was kind of shrewd, and I wonder if we'll start to see more of this in college programs, is Napier hired someone with, I believe, 6 years of experience in an NFL scouting department to head up their transfer portal and junior college transfer efforts. And I think that's something we might start to see more of is, you know, really at its core, college football is a talent acquisition sport. And with the increasing importance of transfers, you almost wonder if college programs are going to start to look more to this NFL model of, you know, and getting guys in here with actual scouting experience, you know, heading up their transfer efforts. Of course, you know, college recruiting departments, particularly in the Power Five, are filled to the gills. But, you know, a lot of these guys and gals in your recruiting departments, they're, you know, early in their careers, they're 25-year-olds trying to make a name for themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think we could see more, you know, these folks that have experience in the NFL ranks as talent evaluators, joining college staffs to evaluate, in particular, guys out of the transfer portal where maybe, you know, they have a couple years on film in the college game and evaluate how those guys might fit into what you're doing. Because that's really the name of the game now. I mean, more than ever, it's a talent acquisition sport, and there's another avenue to do it. You know, in addition to just signing high school players, is you do it through the portal. So the other thing I'll say about Napier is, you know, he has provided an early lift to Florida's recruiting. I think that was expected. That was sort of how he got Louisiana Lafayette going. It's a different beast to recruit in the SEC, but he's sort of planted his flag, I think, early that he could have some skill in that area. And then, two, he brought a couple really nice players along with him from Louisiana Lafayette. The Sun Belt Freshman of the Year was their running back who followed him to Florida. And then he brought a multi-year starter off the Lafayette offensive line with him to Florida. I think that's another trend we're going to see, and we're already seeing in college football, is when you see these guys move from group of five to power five jobs, they grab like their best three players with them and say, hey, come along, guys. You're going to come with me to the Power Five now. And that's something that before this immediate eligibility for transfers, we didn't see that, because if guys wanted to follow their coach out the door, of course, they had to sit a season unless they got a waiver.
Yeah, I found that interesting because, of course, you know, Josh Heupel last year famously said he would not recruit UCF guys, despite the fact that Danny White recruited him from UCF. And Billy Napier is taking took all the furniture on his way out of the office.
Yeah, he really did. And while that's, you know, a noble thing, I guess, for Heupel to say, I don't know that you can really have that mentality anymore. You know, if you're, it's different than, I think it's a little bit different than when, you know, you have a Lane Kiffin leaving Tennessee for USC and you're recruiting guys out of your high school recruiting class to come with you. That's a little bit different, I think, than guys that were on your roster at your last program. They signed on to play for you there. They enjoyed playing for you there. They had success with you there. If you're changing jobs, it might be best for you as the coach and might be best for them as the player to come along with you. And so that might be frustrating to see if you're the school where the coach is leaving. But as far as the coach and the player is concerned, you know, it does seem like there's opportunities there to kind of have a win-win situation.
That sport, you're worried about your honor and your integrity. You're probably getting left behind. Although I did see where Tennessee took a tight end transfer from UCF. So maybe that was just a 12-month policy for Josh Heupel. Blake, last thing, we'll let you run here. Georgia basking in the afterglow of its first championship in 40 years. Are the Bulldogs the favorite to repeat next year? Do you think Alabama uses what happened this year as motivation to return to the top of the mountain next season?
Yeah, I think Alabama is the early favorite. You just look at it, Alabama returns the Heisman Trophy winner in Bryce Young. They return the best player in college football from where I sit, or at the very least, best defensive player in college football in Will Anderson. So you got two stars on each side of the ball. Alabama bringing in a very good recruiting class. And then you add into that what Alabama is doing in the transfer portal. And of course, this comes as no surprise. And, you know, the line is getting worn out at this point, but it's true. The rich getting richer. You look at some of the players Alabama's added in the portal, whether it be Eli Ricks, the LSU cornerback, Jahmyr Gibbs, the Georgia Tech running back, and then now Jermaine Burton. You know, Alabama needed some help at wide receiver, and so they go and get one of Georgia's best wide receivers to turn heel. It really is going to be fast. There's so many things that the transfer immediate eligibility changes. One of the things this is going to do is it's going to ramp up some rivalries even more. I mean, you can't tell me this isn't going to eat at Georgia fans to see a guy who is out there winning a national championship as a starting receiver for them this year, suiting up in a different different shade of crimson next year. And of course, Tennessee fans, you know, are familiar with that with Henry Toa doing a similar thing last year. But it's sort of the way of the world now, and you got to get around and you got to get in there and roll around with it and get some transfers of your own to offset those guys.
Hey, Blake, great talk as always, my man. Appreciate your time at Blake Topmeyer on Twitter. Thanks for jumping on The Drive.
Yeah, absolutely. Good talking to you. Thanks.
Blake Topmeier, USA Today, one more time on the show this afternoon. And I'm of the same opinion. I think those who are writing off Alabama declaring the dynasty dead, a little bit premature in that assumption. And we'll see. I don't think Georgia's going anywhere, but I think those two will be dueling it out again next year on the major college football stage, which be kind of sickening, but that's what I expect.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And like we talked about this year, you've got, you know, look at the top 25. You've got Alabama. You've got Georgia. Then you got a major talent gap. And then you have number three.
I do think he's right, though, about the rivalries. They're going to we be right now?
We took Cade back. I mean, we lost Cade, and he came back. I mean, we've already been in the thick of this. And the more you win, the more the stakes raise, right? So hopefully if we get back to, you know, where Tennessee wants to be, then, yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff is going to happen. And you'll be the beneficiary of it and the loser in those situations equally, I would say. Quick timeout. The drive continues. We'll get to your phone calls coming up here in just a second. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in on the show. Back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Bear and Jake cruising along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Open up the phone lines to you, 865-546-8200. Let's get a phone call from TJ, the Kentucky fan. Good afternoon, TJ.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Doing pretty well. You guys got Mississippi State tonight?
Yes, sir, we do.
Okay. You got the Fighting Ben Howlands.
You know, I think you're going to see the first bit of Shaedon Sharpe tonight, too.
Oh, really? So this is another five-star secret weapon Kentucky's been stashing away on the bench that they are set to unveil this evening?
Yeah, well, he got there about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Apparently, he's the first collegiate basketball player to legally sign a shoe deal with the NIL. So,
now, did he sign with Nike?
No. It's like some
Solvay, kind of off-brand type thing. How does that work, though? Because, I mean, this is the big test thing that I've wondered about since NIL came about last year, was what happens when the guy signs a shoe deal with a different apparel company from the school's official provider? Because Kentucky's a Nike school.
Oh, I guarantee you he's okay with it. I mean, Cal, I don't know if you've seen or not, but those kids wear any type of shoes they want to. You've got some in Chris Paul's and LeBron's and Kevin
Durant's. Yeah, but they're
Durant's
all Nikes.
Are they? I've never noticed if they were Nike or not.
Yeah, you don't see. And I would imagine, like, if it's a unknown brand, I would imagine that the kid will probably still be wearing Nikes, but is free to endorse, like, on his social media or whatever, the other shoe. Although, I still wonder what Nike. I mean, this just Pandora's box has been opened. And
absolutely.
I'll see. I'm going to look into that. That's interesting.
Well, that's go ahead, TJ. Sorry.
One thing I've got, the you were wondering of Cal's take your pants off quote, right? So it was last night on his radio show, and he said, you know, some Auburn people were saying it wasn't that big of a game. And then after he said that, he said, you know, you had Auburn players taking their shirts off. If that wasn't a big game, what's a big game? They're going to take their shorts off? So he was making a joke of it, but that's what it was.
You know, those guys hate each other. It's so weird to me that Bruce Pearl and John Calipari just do not like each other. And then and they're both like the dirtiest players in the game, right? I mean, we know what the deal's with those two. And then Rick Barnes, Mr. I go to church three times a day and don't cheat in recruiting, and Calipari are like best of friends. I don't get
that. It's type A, type B type stuff, man, you know.
I guess so.
Two aggressive guys don't like each other, but if they find somebody who's going to take a back seat to them, you know, they'll and be their friend, they'll like them for forever.
Evidently.
Hey, real quick, and this is not to – I saw an article today, and I'll get off here. Georgia and Tennessee both, I guess, self-violated recruiting violations. Is that like the small violations that every school does at the end of the year, or what's that about with Georgia?
Yeah, you know, the News Sentinel was reporting on – Tennessee's secondary violations. This happens every year where, you know, this year it was like, some kid was in the crowd pregame and actually got in the vol walk with the players, which is a secondary violation. You know, I don't think that's a big deal. And then there were some, I think the basketball program one was like a kid was on a visit and he picked up a ball and dribbled on the court. And that constituted a secondary violation.
Oh my gosh!
I'm not even kidding. So I mean, this is why people are shaking their head about the NCAA, and they're taking so much heat, and they're going to hopefully get rid of some of this nonsense. But yeah, they did self-report those, and it's not a big deal.
It's like the bagel and the cream cheese.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Joker Phillips or Rich Brooks, they had to self-report that one of the coaches gave one of the recruits a Snickers bar. I'm like, come on, man. Like a 99-cent at the time, 99-cent Snicker bar, you got to report that. That's ridiculous to me. Y'all have a good one, man.
Thanks, man. You too. Yeah. That was, what was your example, Jake?
The bagel and the cream cheese.
Yeah.
It's like you can give a kid a bagel,
but you can't put any cream cheese on it.
That's a violation.
That was a true story.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, the NCAA said that. And then there was another one where like a school had too much pasta on its pregame buffet line, and they're like, this constitutes extra benefit. I mean, just absurd stuff.
You can have 2 pounds, but if you have 2.1, getting the hammer dropped.
And I'm looking at this shoe deal that this Kentucky player has, Shaedon Sharpe. It's with Soul Savvy, I guess, and he's got pictures with him with all these shoes, but he's got Nikes on there. I don't know. Maybe
what
it's
is it, like a off-brand running shoe?
I'm not sure.
I've never heard of them. But, I mean, we had this discussion here a while back because, you know, there was the issue with Jeffrey Jordan, Michael Jordan's son,
because
he was going to an Adidas school, but he wanted to wear his dad's shoe, and Adidas finally came around and said, yeah, you can do it. So it's not so much up to the school as it is the brand. So in this instance, if they made a basketball shoe, I feel like Nike would have to sign off on it because of the agreement with the school.
It looks like this might not actually be a shoe brand. This looks like it might be some sort of app for like sneakerheads that tells them where to get deals on shoes and stuff.
Looking at it now, that's a community for those who love sneakers.
He's also got a Porsche deal. He's got a Instagram post here with his standing next to his Porsche. How does that strike you, Jake? You're out there driving around and you're a Camry out there with, four months worth of trash in the back seat. And 26-year-old grown man, Army veteran, working it, living the American dream, just moved into a new house, got your life together. You're out there fighting the good fight, struggling, working your way up, building your life. And here's some 17-year-old kid with a Porsche deal.
I'll say this. Mine won't have to be in the shop after a year.
Oh,
my Camry is going to go and go.
That's true.
And keep going. And then it's going to go some more.
That's true.
Until it gets about 500,000, 600,000 miles. And then it'll finally go kablooey. But
they're very dependable. The Japanese cars are.
Need to hook some of our guys up with some Tundras. Those snowy ones look nice.
This is really funny. Gatavals sent us. This is a tweet from @6dose. Maybe this is a little dear Facebooky, but I found this hysterical. This person, I guess this is a female. She says, men will watch a sports game, then immediately after, watch all the highlights of the said game. Then the next day, will watch four different shows and listen to three different podcasts analyzing and giving opinions on the game. And this is for every single game. All right, that's only partially true, okay?
That's partially true.
It's mostly for games you win. When you win a big game, oh, yeah, you go back, you watch the highlights. You might even watch the entire game.
I've done that.
I do that quite a bit. And then you'll watch the shows and listen to podcasts analyzing the game. But if we lose, like the Titans games, I don't want to relive that. I mean, I've got it on DVR. I'm just going to delete it eventually. I ain't watching that again.
No, it's just like 2015 Florida. Do you think we want to sit there and watch that over and over and over again?
See, women just don't understand. They think they know us. They don't. They're half right. They're generalizing. It's sexist, quite frankly. I think.
That is.
It is, right? You can't say that, but it's the truth.
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
865-546-8200. Coming up, hour number two of the show, James Clausen from Spire Sports Group will join us to talk about NIL and Tennessee. Where's the Tennessee Porsche deals? I mean, that's what a lot of y'all are wondering. Like, some of these deals are nice. I'm glad that guys are able to cash in. Where are the big deals with big name brand companies that are going to lead to other recruits, big name recruits, wanting to come to Knoxville? We'll go straight to the source. Also, I see where Bryant Gumbel has done an interview with Antonio Brown and his lawyer for tonight's Real Sports on HBO.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, there'd be some fireworks there.
By the way, did you see the video of him at the doctor's office?
No.
Passing gas.
Like, oh, that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, but he tweeted the video out again.
What? Oh, man, that dude is sick in the head, isn't he?
He's got issues, man. Speaking of NIL, though, did you see the average payout per player in Virginia for NIL deals?
No.
Take a guess.
In Virginia? Like for all Virginia colleges or just for Virginia, the Cavaliers?
I think it might have just been the Cavs, but it might be the whole state of Virginia. I was kind of skimming through it on my way.
Like average yearly income or per deal?
Per deal.
I would say it's just like a couple $100.
Not even that.
Like $50?
$81.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of these, most of these deals will be rather small.
Right.
But
some free food here and there.
To get the Arch Mannings of the world and Nico Iamaleava, whatever his name is, from California, the five-star that Tennessee is recruiting right now for the class of 2023, you're going to have to be able to show them the money.
Need lifted trucks and iced out Pateks.
I don't know what that means, but iced out Pateks, is that what you said?
Yeah.
What is a Patek?
Patek? Patek?
Patek?
The big old watch.
Oh, as a watch?
Yeah.
Like a Rolex kind of, like expensive?
Prime time.
Just give me the car.
Oh, need it iced out.
All right, stay with us. The drive continues. Jake's got your top four at four coming up next on Fan Run Radio.